Chairman and I have read the minutes and would like to make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Second. It has been moved and seconded that we approve both sets of minutes, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. As presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Billy, let's go to work.
Last time was you, this time Joel, huh?
What's that?
Missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Joel's flying.
I would like to excuse Commissioner Bousman. He is en route to Washington, D.C. for WIR and NACO meetings and other meetings, and I will report a little bit on that during old business. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Road and bridge. I don't really have a whole lot. Since last meeting, I'm sure Mark and maybe Skylar has something, but we're just mowing, getting caught up, finally getting caught up on blading, doing some pipe work, trying to get projects that need to be done for ground freezes and stuff. Just business as usual, yeah. Nothing out of the
You gonna order. Do anything on metal arc this fall, or are you just gonna?
We'll bring that up.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Go ahead, Mark.
It will be awarded at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. The bid?
Yes.
Okay.
We have some road crossings with pipes and water lines that we'd like to get done this fall. Let them settle for winter. So
okay.
That's good. The main thing we want to get done.
Gotcha. I'm sure you're in communication with the homeowners association out there. If they've got any water lines or crossings or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're all
we're in close contact and
okay.
We're working with them trying to figure out the best way to put a buster around at the end of the line. So
gotcha. Okay.
And we are putting extra, you know, in case of the future there will be conduit in spots and stuff. So
okay.
It'll be good.
Good deal. All right.
What else you got, Mark?
This week they'll start fog coating parking areas around the county. All the public parking areas that are in the county owns, so they'll fog seal them and paint them.
Okay, that's what's going on out here.
Yeah, we got it blocked off here.
Okay. So is it blocked off between the cones, or just where a cone is?
I think it's supposed to be the whole.
Well, because I see Commissioner Noble parked in between the cones there.
We need to get out.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Today sometime?
I just wanted the opportunity to
rest. Did you bring me a little?
I can move my car or truck.
Yes, once it warms up, they'll probably be shooting it.
Okay. Well, they're on the way today, so it'll be probably this afternoon.
Oh, okay. After lunch, then don't park there.
Okay. So out back here, there's one cone. Where's the other cone? Is it on the other end over there?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll need to move too.
Keep poking.
Because I parked in the back out here thinking I was safe. All right. We'll figure it out.
Skylar, are you got anything?
You know, I've just a couple little things. I've done some plat reviews for Dennis, but bringing up that parking area down at Meadowlark, I reviewed the easement for that, but that makes me think, is that going to be incorporated into the county road? Do we need to make that piece part of the county road, or is that just going to be a separate standalone easement? It can be either.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Part of what we're doing is a realignment right off the highway where we swing into the school parking lot.
Yeah.
But we're still working on the one at the end. So.
You see, that's pretty busy. When I went by there last week, and that parking lot's pretty full.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Anything else on road and bridge?
No, did have Kevin with the school district call me about Bondurant has like 11 kids this year. So They may have to run some buses certain places, but just to work, they're going to work with us on our plow route and stuff like that. Okay. So, yeah, so that was a good thing from three to that. So.
Yeah.
Hmm. Other than that, that's just, you know, we're just blading. That's about it.
Okay, good. Let's transition to into waste management then.
Okay. At least, you know, like recycling and that, and we talked a little bit about that. The cardboard's gone crazy. We're just doing a lot of cardboard lately, which is good because that's, we make our most money on cardboard, so that's a good thing. We're kind of getting better set up here at the transfer station where we can mash it and get it more compacted and stuff. Yeah. That's the biggest thing there. Another thing with recycling, I had the food basket ask me about baling clothes. Yeah. The one baler we have there will do clothes. I told her I'd bring it up. I'd ask you guys. I told her I didn't, you know, I don't, they would have to, Sally said she thought she could work it in with, if she had help.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them they would have to help.
Yeah.
These places that take clothes, they got to be baled.
Oh,
so I told them I would bring that up, ask okay. you guys.
I guess I don't have a problem helping them out with that as long as they're providing the labor and we're providing the expertise.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing it'll cost us a little bit is a little bit for the wire.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
No big deal.
Nothing big. Yeah. And she said that she would have help. They would handle all the bales, do all that. So
okay.
I just didn't want Sally to get, you yep. know, that, and they would do it on whenever she had extra
yeah.
time.
So. I just don't want that to become Sally's responsibility.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Okay.
What kind of bales do they make?
They're
weight-wise.
Oh, they probably weigh 500 pounds, 600 pounds. These places it's got where they won't take loose clothing yeah. anymore, and they got to be baled.
So how do they handle them? How
just with a forklift. Yeah. You know, she just put them in the back there, and then they have a company come and get them.
I see.
So,
okay.
So are these clothes then going into a landfill somewhere, or are they going to be
no,
opened up and then sold
or used.
Yeah,
into
they,
another place?
They get, they redo them. I didn't check into that, but a lot of them, you know, they use
rags.
It for rags, and then
okay.
they
shop rags. It's a big also, business.
Yeah. And then they do other stuff with them. She was kind of telling me they shred them, and I don't know, but it's all recycled. So
cool. Yeah, I think as long as it doesn't have too big of a burden on Sally, I think we're all right there.
The over waste management, we're just. You know, we finally got our burning under control. You know, we've had crazy stuff with all the grass and trees, you know, summer stuff. So we kind of, they want us to burn more often and the pile is smaller. So we got that all handled. We're just working on our slope. We're finally at the last corner and we're bringing it across and then we'll start on our top layer on the pit. So, you know, other than that, it's going good over there.
Good.
Haven't had any issues.
Terrific.
All right. I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you guys beat the weeds on the side of the road?
Like yeah, that? We are mowing. Yeah. Started like a week ago. He's got the industrial done, Eamon Lane done. He's doing Paul Creek today. He's got the lake done. We'll do the We get all the paved roads done first, and then we hit the bad, you know, where it's real high in the dirt roads.
And that's to keep the snow from drifting?
Yeah, it just cleans them up. And you see wildlife.
See the deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I appreciate the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks for making it easy on
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right, perfect. Mary, you got a little business for us?
I do.
Let's go to work there.
I have a bond for Kelly Sellers, who is the treasurer for the Sublette County Weed and Pest Board. And then you received a letter from the University of Wyoming Extension, Kelly Crane, the associate director, informing you that Glenn Owings is the county coordinator for the Extension office, effective August 14th, which would have been when Robin left. And
Okay. Now, the new fellow that we're hiring to replace Robin.
Right.
Takes.
He's in, like, in October, I think.
End of October.
Yeah.
So Glenn is filling in.
Well, I don't know if he's filling in necessarily. They've always had one of the people that's out there designated as the coordinator.
Right. Oh, okay. So now it's Glenn instead of Robin.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think what that does is that gives him authority to approve the vouchers.
Well, that helps.
So I think that's kind of what
bills.
That is.
That's
yeah,
they can
pay
idea.
The bills. So.
Okay.
So I have, this is a little ahead. I have it on the agenda, but it's ahead of the agenda. When you extended the lease for the clinic properties at the last meeting through the end of September, the Rural Healthcare District has signed that document. We need to sign it.
Okay.
So that's
been accepted.
Yeah. So it's just sign the document. We're going to run ahead of schedule today, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's the lease for September.
That's for September, yeah. Okay. Then I have the TANF grant, which is the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families. Our TANF money is distributed to four agencies in the county. The SAFE, Pregnancy Resource, High Country Behavioral Health, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Okay. So the grant was approved,
yep.
All that stuff. This is the contract for the money.
I need to sign it.
Yeah, and I think there's just one time, Andy.
Cool.
Then I have when we had the August 7th meeting, we had planning and zoning on the agenda, and this is the first Fish Creek LLC conditional use permit. This is the resolution for that. So you've already adopted this resolution. You just all need to sign so I can record it. Then I have some documents from Meadowlark Energy Partners, LLC, which is the company that's Pinedale Energy Partners. that purchased QEP that has proposed a lease for the county, for basically the county shop property. This is the lease that's been offered up by them. It's signed by Meadowlark Energy Partners. And the gist of the lease is for 19.87 gross acres with no surface occupancy. And let's see, the term is 5 years with 17% fair market value. You can look through. This is what John's discussed with you. It's the final lease.
And has John gone through all this?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
This is from John.
All this is from. This is his. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Did Wayne Pest?
I have Wayne Pest's documents also.
Okay.
So I need to.
They'll need to sign.
Yeah, they'll need to sign those. I just got these Saturday.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have, short of the bills.
Okay.
That's it.
Terrific. We can get a jump start on the bills.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. We've got all sorts of time, so. Bill, how are you?
Good.
Welcome
good.
To the fray.
Well, thank you. Just an interested listener.
That's good.
Glad to see it.
Mostly paying election judges today.
What's that?
I said you're mostly paying election judges today.
Oh, gotcha. So you want to give us a report on your new equipment?
Sure. I would love to give you a report on my new equipment.
Okay.
So for this election, we were with the purchase of upgraded scanning equipment and handicapped accessible equipment. A couple of things that changed through the election was we were able to do early voting. The DS200, which is the dumpster looking thing with the scanner on top of it that was stationed at every polling place, we're able to program 100 precincts on that machine, which is just unbelievable. Nobody has 100 precincts in Wyoming.
Right.
But we can program 100 precincts. So we were able to program all 8 of our precincts and early vote during absentee voting.
Yeah.
So folks could come in and they could actually vote and put their ballot in the machine. And it tallies through that process and secures, but it doesn't, or tabulate, I'm sorry, but it doesn't tally until we close the early voting precinct, which happens on the morning of Election Day. So we close early voting, and then we open absentee voting, because we're still doing absentee voting, which is you have an envelope. We've mailed out a ballot someplace, and it comes back to us in an envelope. And those ballots are qualified that they truly were sent out and that they're properly signed and dated. And then those envelopes were opened and those ballots were put into the machine. And they tabulate also, but they don't tally until the end of the day on Election Day, until 7 o'clock.
So do you tell it to tabulate then? Is that what you do?
Yeah, we tell it to tabulate. So what it then does is it generates a report for the absentee precinct, which is what that's called, once that information is put into, it's generated on a jump drive, once that's put into the computer with the other precincts, all of that information melds right into each of the precincts, so it's not segregated from the others or held out that we have to add it. It's like added in. It just goes right to those precincts. So when it makes the report, it's reporting on 8 precincts. So
cool.
Pretty cool.
So
we were able, so in the past what's happened is that the absentee ballots are sent out to the precincts and the judges at the polling places deal with those ballots. And then during the day on election day, if we get absentee ballots, they have to come to the courthouse, then we have to send them out, and that I have usually someone from the sheriff's office on standby all day for election day to deliver ballots. And then we eliminated all of that because they were delivered to the courthouse, and then we were able to take care of those absentee ballots in an hour and a half.
Wow. So how many man hours do you think it saved you?
Well, on the front end, just handling those ballots, because we would have to sort them by precinct, which we still have to do. We would then have to make a list, and we would have to secure those ballots. We had to put them in something that they were secure with the list. We had to sign off the list and certify that these are the ballots that we're sending you. They had to sign off on the other end that these are the ballots they were receiving. And we did that over and over during the day if we had more ballots that came in. But we would, in the last 16 election, we handled 1,400 absentee ballots through our office. We about went crazy just getting them out, let alone getting them back in. So we saved all of those man hours of putting that together, plus not having a deputy on call all day to deliver ballots, or maybe even two deputies. And so we got rid of all of that, but we also got rid of all of the absentee voting, all of those early ballots that were cast.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do all that envelope stuff.
Wow.
So they would come in, they sign an affidavit that says, I'm voting absentee today and will not show up at the polling place to vote on election day.
Right.
And that's that, you know.
So definitely worth worth the money spent.
Yeah. It was worth the money spent. The technology is amazing. We didn't have any problems with anything. We had a couple of crazy things that happened. If you remember, when you go to vote, you're given a voter card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some people try to put their voter cards in the scanners.
I did that.
Did you?
Yeah.
And
well,
way to go.
Put your card in there.
Wrong card.
Wrong card.
Voting
yeah.
card.
I understand.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look at those. So. Yeah.
I don't understand why they gave it to us.
Well, it's so that they don't have to count all of the ballots at the end of the night, because there's a number on the machine.
I understand.
And there's a number on the poll book, and they have a card. Yeah.
So the lady sitting there should have had a sign on her forehead that said, don't put the little card in the machine.
Yeah.
Bring it back to me.
Yeah. Little card here.
So what they have to do, did they have to, like, open the machine?
Mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't go in. They just saw me struggle.
Yeah.
I had my foot up on it, trying to jam it in there.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Won't take it.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They've seen me coming before.
Well, so then the new Express Vote, which is the machine that we used to have a thing called an AutoMark, and they were huge and heavy and slow and clunky. The Express Vote is the new technology for that, and it generates a little, you get just a strip of paper that's like about this long,
mm-hmm.
and it goes into the machine, and it comes out with a barcode across the top, and then it also prints out your choices for your votes, and then that also goes into the DS-200 along with the other ballots.
Yeah.
But the purpose of that machine is it has all of the election on it, so you pick your precinct and you vote that, but it doesn't tally any votes or anything. It's just a marker, and what it marks, like I said, it generates these barcodes, but it also has headphones, so you can have the ballot read to you If you, you know, are having, if you're sightless, it has Braille.
Oh, nice.
It also, you can invert the screen so you could have a black background with white print.
Oh, yeah.
For folks with macular degeneration, it helps them. You can also make the print bigger so that if you can't read the screen, you can, or the ballot, you can make it bigger so you can see. So it's got a lot of versatility to be able to, you know, to deal with issues. Yeah. So, and it's pretty fast, actually. If you're a techie guy, it's kind of fun because it's faster than the old stuff used to be. And, yeah. So.
Definitely worth it then.
And that actually, if you could, if we could convince people to use it exclusively,
right,
we wouldn't have to print ballots, which would save us money also. But I don't know if we're ever going to get away from the old ballots.
Well, not in this generation, but the next generation.
Yeah. And the key is that we are required, you know, there's always a lot of talk about using any of that touchscreen stuff because there isn't a ballot. Well, yeah, there is a ballot. There is a paper ballot. We're required federally to have a paper ballot. We can't just do something
electronically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So
interesting.
So yeah, so that was about cool. that.
Well,
and easy in and out. Didn't take us as long to deliver and pick up.
Cool.
So yeah.
And you had your results faster.
We'd have had our results a lot faster. We had a little snafu, but that wasn't our fault. Somebody left without the stuff. So yeah. So we had to call and say, hey, go back and pick up the stuff.
Go back and pick up the stuff you were supposed to bring.
Yeah, yeah. We left the important bag on the floor.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Everybody's a little nervous. But, yeah, it was good. It was a good day. Really good day.
Good.
And the other part, too, that we didn't have to deal with, we didn't have any, which is so very unlike Sublette County, we didn't have any write-ins that had any impact on the election.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
So we didn't mess with those. So,
right.
But with this new scanning equipment, it scans those write-ins. So we're not tallying. We're not making big lists of write-ins like we were before
right.
on election night.
Right.
It scans that, and then it puts it into a report, and we can look at the report and see what we need to refer to. So, because one of the ones that we were looking for is the open statewide seats. You know, we had a couple of those that there weren't Democrats filed on the other side, which they could gather enough Democratic votes to access the ballot, or like in our legislative seat, the House 22 seat, or 22 seat, they were looking for write-ins there. They were looking for write-ins in House 20, those kinds of things, anything that would impact the the ballot. So we have to report that to Cheyenne. So anyway, we canvass on Thursday, and then the state, we have to have all of our results to the state on Friday, and then they canvassed last Wednesday. And so we're waiting for certification of candidates from the state. They have to do them by the 6th.
This Friday?
Yeah, the 6th, which is what, Thursday, I guess, yeah. But the thing that's, I don't know why it takes them so long. Our ballot's ready to go. So, anyway.
Awesome. Thank you.
And we'll start absentee voting at the end of September again.
Yeah, you will, won't you?
Yep.
All right. Excellent. Well, we have time, so I'm going to go ahead and ask Commissioner Rawhauser if he has any old business to discuss.
Well, I think, you know, we were talking about the WPLI.
Yeah.
And reading over all of the proposals that were sent to us.
I'm thinking we better save that one for 11.
You want to save that one?
That one.
Okay.
Let's save WPLI for 11,
for
but any other.
I think the only thing was going to Jackson to the Roadless Area meeting with Forest Service was very informative, very impressed with the gentleman that put the overlays together on the map, that you could see what Sublette County, Lincoln County, Teton County looks like, then overlay it with what's a roadless area, then overlay it with what the existing roads are on that map, and then be able to say how many miles of roads do we have where we don't have all this kind of stuff. Very, very good. And the roads have been there for a very, very long time. They just made it roadless. arbitrarily, and I'm not sure anybody will look to see if there was a road there. There is a highway going right through the middle of the wilderness area. It's the Salt River Highway that goes from Cokeville to Afton. So again, everybody was on board to try to move forward with maybe changing some boundary lines on the roadless areas that are full of roads. And one of the prime examples was the Grays River and the Hams Fork. So it was, very informative.
Pretty interesting.
Oh, yes. Because everything was taken off of the old pencil and what's the laminate called that they did the old maps?
Mylar? Well, not Mylar, but it was...
Mylar. The old Mylar maps, they took a pencil. Well, now we've got the GIS, we've got the satellites and everything. And
before that it was Linen.
Yeah, we had everything. So anyway, very, very, very good. So that's what I did on Monday.
Terrific. Commissioner Noble?
Just the conversations with Joanne Harvis and the work group. We're going to meet Thursday at 6 o'clock. I think Doc's planning on being there. For the most part, that's it. Pretty simple.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Burnett?
I don't really have anything to report other than I've had a few conversations with various folks in the county, and I guess this would question probably for Holly. I've had several people ask if there's planning to be some type of forum or discussion for both the school district race in Big Piney, as well as, more importantly, the healthcare district race that's coming up.
I think we need to do something on a nonpartisan level, which is what evaded us during the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party basically inundated with so many debates that it was really, and so I will have that communication with the chamber. I just want those to be a non-political forum. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it should be, because it's not exactly party associated. But I do think it's an issue that there's a lot of people that are significantly or rightfully concerned with and need
definitely
to discuss various issues.
On the healthcare level and on the school board level, and we probably need another one on county commission.
Between the parties.
The three can. And it has to be, and it needs to be inclusive.
So would it be a fair response when people ask that that's in the works or that's in the planning?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when we get down here, I'll stop by the chamber and talk to them and see if we can start working on that.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm working on, I just sent you guys an email that Joel forwarded to me. Do we have a liaison with Jim Mitchell?
No.
Sheriff's guy.
Yeah, yeah, Casey does that, right? There is a meeting. They're having a meeting on long-term power outage responses. The WCCA is sponsoring that, and there's only three commissioners out of the whole state who've responded to go to it. So Pete sent out another email saying, this is a little more important than I may have led you to believe. So we need to get Jim Mitchell to attend, and if one or two of us can go. The closest one to us is Jackson, September 13th, which is a week from Thursday. Or there's Lander, September 12th.
September 13th is what day?
It's a Thursday.
September 12th, what time in Lander?
12th in Lander. Let's see. The meetings will last approximately 2 hours and will be conducted at 2:30 p.m.
I might be able to make that one in Lander.
The one in Lander.
You know.
Okay. Let us know
on
that one.
I'll let you know maybe this afternoon.
Okay. Oh, that'd be good. Perfect.
Okay. I'll have to look and see.
Okay.
Being from Big Piney, we have a very, very good background from dealing with Lincoln
in
Service.
In long-term power outage?
Lincoln Service over the years. I don't know how many years ago.
Probably generator.
Lincoln. Yeah, it was off every night.
Right, yeah. Right. Sheriff Lear, I'm going to go ahead and send an email to you. This is a meeting on long-term power outage stuff put together by the WCCA. It'd probably be good to have Jim Mitchell attend one of these meetings.
Okay.
So I'll go ahead and just forward this email to you. There's several different options. You can go to Jackson or to Lander. There's different days, different times.
Okay.
So I'll just go ahead and forward that to you real quick.
Perfect.
All right. And you can forward that to Jim or do with it what you wish. How's that?
Is this a planned thing or is this?
Yeah, it's kind of a planning, making plans if something happened.
Okay.
Type deal.
So this isn't a planned power outage. This is
oh no.
In case
no, I think it's kind of get your ducks in a row in case a power outage, long term power outage started. So.
Okay.
But it sounds like it'll only last a couple of hours, the meeting, and it start at 2:30 in the afternoon. So.
Okay.
I just emailed that to you.
All right.
Good. Let's see. Were you finished? You were all finished
yes.
with yours? Okay, good.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I spent various and sundry days with some federal outfits, the Forest Service, so spare you the details, but productive meetings I had with them. Joel, as I said, is in the air on his way to D.C. He sent us all an email that we'll talk about later during old business about WPLI. We'll catch that one at 12. In the meantime, he sent me a text. He said, for old business, I will be meeting with the Interior on Wednesday to invite them to Wyoming to discuss how more local and state management could work on the ground. I have also talked to Mark Gordon ahead of time, and he is in complete support. So that's another thing that he'll be doing while he's in D.C. What else was he doing?
He's there for the PILT fly-in.
PILT fly-in. That's
as the past president of WIR, and he's meeting on the. You know, he's been working on the desk guide for the Forest Service, and some of those other documents that he's been working on for a while. He's meeting. I believe he's got meetings with Forest Service and BLM when he gets there. But plus this.
Yep. So he's going to be a busy guy. All right. No other old business. Casey, do you want to go ahead and take care of yours? Come on up.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's do that. We're so ahead of schedule. It's crazy. So
yeah, early.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad it came up.
Yeah.
So I think the big thing, if you just went through invoices, increased cost upstairs with the number of inmates, of course, medical, prescription, food, everything's gone up.
Yes.
So we're coming back down. You know, we were in the 40s. We're now in the 30s, and I think that trend will continue to drop as we get into the fall and winter,
right,
as it usually does. Right. So.
So in our jail, if they are our inmates, do they still buy their own meds, or are we on the hook for those?
It depends on whether they have insurance, whether they have money to do so, but more often than not, we end up paying for the prescription medication.
Yep. If they come from another jail and we're housing them, how does that work?
Then the other jail would
be responsible for their meds.
Right.
And such.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't have health care?
Go to jail.
Get arrested.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah.
And it, like I said, high costs.
Yep.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I really don't. I don't have anything.
It's short, huh?
Pressing. Yeah. You know, we had a rescue over the weekend. I told you about that this morning. You know, they both got back into Fremont County good. It was just
waiting to get back our equipment.
Wow. So, yeah, that's amazing, because I told you that a year or two ago we had a similar deal like that, but they spent the night on the side of the mountain.
Right.
Mm-hmm. On this little ledge.
Hanging by a rope.
Yeah, literally. Hanging by a rope, yeah. Until we could get to them the next day. So these guys are lucky.
Right.
Wow. Hmm. Well, thanks for all your service and for helping out and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Heard lots of great things as far as Labor Day goes. Relatively quiet.
Yeah. Yep, good. For the most part.
Good. So. It looked like there was plenty of speeders going through. You were plenty of busy with that because there was a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no real big deals, huh?
No.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good. Anything for the sheriff, gentlemen?
Nope.
Perfect.
No.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, it's short and sweet. That's
yeah. Good. Yeah. Boy, the whole day's looking that way.
Okay. Well, good.
Thumbs up. Cool. All right. We'll go ahead and take a break then. And at 10 o'clock, we'll have a public hearing for the sanitarium fees.